Good afternoon. We would like to welcome you to the November 13th meeting of the Savannah Historic District Board of Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the City of Savannah. This board is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes in new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within this board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a COA. Personal preferences will not be the basis for a decision. Sign postings. Members of the board receive packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of these projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Hearing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. We have one item on the consent agenda this month, the petition of Eco-Friendly Construction and Design, file number 24-00555-3 COA for 537 East Congress Street, alterations and color change. Is there any member of the public or a board member who wishes to remove this item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Houle, so moved.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. Is there a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. We'll do a voice vote on this. Just press your little red speaker buttons. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that motion is approved. If your item was on the consent agenda, it has been approved, and you are welcome to leave or stay as you like. Moving on to the adoption of the agenda, is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
Thompson, so moved.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Do I have a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Again, we'll do a voice vote. Please make sure your mics are turned on. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion to approve the agenda is approved and passed. Approval of minutes. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached. Is there a motion for approval of these minutes?
Houle, so move.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. Is there a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Again, a voice vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion to approve the minutes has been approved and is passed. Items requested to be removed from the final agenda, we have none. The continued agenda, we have three items. We have the petition of Andrew Lynch, file number 24-004958 for 20 through 24 East Oglethorpe Avenue. The petition of LS3P, file number 24-0004957, 301 Tatnall Street, and the petition of Signs of the South, file number 24-004393. Is there a motion to continue the items on the continued agenda?
Quick question first. You were going to find out the date for the
signs? Yes, I'll let Caitlin answer that.
The decision was to October 9th meeting, and they were not ready with any updates at that time.
Okay. It just concerns me when people keep continuing items when we gave them a specific time period.
I mean, we've been trying to work with them, but we can only do so much when getting them to actually act on it. But we're trying to get it for December.
This is probably a procedural question, but since they missed the window that was dictated by this body, would that require a new application be submitted?
You know, I have not seen this come up before, but that we can look into that. And if they need to reapply, we'll have them reapply for December or whenever they're ready.
Okay.
But as to the continued agenda, so moved. Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Hull. We'll do a voice vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion to approve the continued agenda has been approved and is passed. Requests for extensions, we have none. So we will move into the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address the items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance or questions raised by this board. The public will then be given the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The board will then enter into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested and granted by the chairwoman. We will structure the board discussion by going around to each board member two times for comment. You do not have to provide comments if you do not have any. If you are joining us virtually or for the first time, please locate your control panel. Public that wishes to submit a comment, use the raise your hand feature. If you are with us today physically, please make sure you sign in and state your name when you come up to the podium and keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. First item up on the regular agenda, petition of Hansen Architects, Patrick Phelps, file number 24-004416 for 401 through 409 East Bay Street, new construction part two.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the project. The applicant's requesting approval for new construction part two design details for a rehab and new construction project at 401 through 409 East Bay Street. Just as a quick refresher from last time and for our newer members that did not see this for the part one, this has been approved at the September meeting, I believe. So we are back now with part two. There's three buildings proposed within this project. Currently, one of them is a dry cleaner building that will be demoed, non-contributing. There's a secondary building that is contributing, and then one to the left of that, which is not contributing, but will also be rehabbed. For part two, get that back up. All right. We have further information about the materials that are proposed to be used and the final details. One change is that the roof access was moved. Staff found that this was still visually compatible and within the sight lines, but this is what is currently proposed here. It was a removal, and this is going to be added. And I will just go quickly back to where the originals were just to compare. So we had the access here, and clearly there wasn't one at this point, but then applicants did provide the sight lines and new context drawings. And then with regard to materials, again, staff found that everything was visually compatible and meeting the standards. The model is here. If anybody, I can pass it around, and they've also provided us with material boards, but I will quickly just show you as well on the screen. And then, you know, there's window details, doors, siding for the various buildings. Did y'all want me to pass around the sample boards? Did anybody want to see them? Okay. All right. So with that, staff recommends to approve the request for new construction part two design details for three properties located at 401 through 409 East Bay Street as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Caitlin. Are there any questions for staff? Okay. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon, Chair and Board. I'm Patrick Phelps with Hansen Architects.
me a second while I kind of navigate through here. I'll kind of just walk through and try to identify materials as well as kind of reference the board so that you have a better idea of what the intentions and plans are. So along Bay Street, make that bigger for everybody. Does that show up okay on everybody's screen? That's the Bay Street elevation. Okay. So on your left-hand side is a existing non-contributing building. In the previous application, to clarify, there was a proposed rooftop terrace with glass rail, then also an extension onto the existing clerestory. We've since removed that from the project. So this building is in its totality is really a restoration of the existing building. The brick facade on that would be restored. We have new aluminum windows that'll be steel replica, so they'll have a smaller profile, look more like industrial steel windows. They were probably similar to what was original to the building, an entryway. And I think we've got samples of those in there, new lighting. And then on the building in the middle, that is the contributing building. Through our historic research, we did discover that that building did have a coating. It's indeterminable whether that was painted or stucco. But with the damage that's been caused over the years and the repairs that we intend to make, we'd like to propose a stucco finish over that to cover up those kind of mistakes that have been happening. The shutters, we did find photographic evidence that there are shutters on the windows, and we're replicating those. The awning, which is shown in the rendering, will be submitted at a later date, including all of the exterior signage once we get that kind of worked out with the branding for the hotel. Exterior lighting on that building as well. And then the four-story building on the corner, we're proposing a granite base, which is over here on the board, and a rusticated red brick, and then also decorative terracotta elements. And some of those, just so you're aware, some of those elements, the design may change and get developed over time for the cornice base, but we're happy to review those with staff as we get that further developed. There will be iron railings and some metal panel on that building as well. As we move over to the Haversham Street elevation, the red brick building turns the corner. We've got a connector or a hyphen. It'll be metal panel. And again, the aluminum steel replica windows, more of a open glass structure between that and the building to the right. That we're proposing is a rusticated brick, but more of a hand molded brick. And we're proposing that we do a chime, which is a mineral coating, which would replicate a painted finish. That would be in reflectance to kind of the residential neighborhood that would be around Washington Square. On top of that, building is crowned with metal panel. Those windows are metal clad wood windows. Again, going back towards more of the residential context of Washington Square. Along the lane, again, the beige brick building wraps the corner. We've got the existing contributing building. That portion of the wall with the damage that's occurred through it through the years, we're anticipating that that is going to have to be reconstructed. We plan to salvage the existing brick and use that with the reconstruction, but it'll be put back in its original form. And above that would be the two-story. That's going to be an architectural composite metal, which is also sampled over here, sort of a flat metal finish to look more of an industrial addition onto that historic building. And then the three-story building on your far right, more of a residential building, so we're looking at a stucco base, hardy siding, which is a kind of an upgrade profile. It's called Artisan Series. It's a thicker profile of hardy that gives a better look of more like wood. And then, again, with the windows, more of a residential window with a metal-clad wood window. So I'm happy to answer any questions or provide any clarification.
Thank you, Patrick. Are there questions from the board for the applicant? Mr. Hull?
Mr. Houle, could you go back to the Bay Street elevation? There we are. How far back in the middle building with the signage, how far back is the two-story or three-story addition?
Yeah, it's a two-story addition on the single-story building. It's about a little over 34 feet setback, correct?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
So let's see if I could find a... So here you can see the contributing building here, and then this is the addition back here. So it's well back beyond the sight line from across Bay Street.
Were there any additional questions? Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment?
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC is enthusiastic to see the high quality of design materials, design details and materials submitted in the Part 2 application. We encourage the team to see the project through as it is being presented today. These buildings will be a great addition to our landmark historic district, and we look forward to seeing them come to fruition.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. Is there another member of the public that wishes to speak? Okay. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment?
Thank you for your support.
Okay. At this time, we will enter into board discussion and no further comment will be accepted. As a reminder, each board member I'll go around twice and provide your comments. Mr. Houle, I will start with you.
It's very nice and refreshing to see a project of this kind that I don't have any problems with.
Ms. Nagel.
I think the submittal packet is great. I appreciate it and commend it because it makes our work a little easier. Everything is there. It's very specific. I have no problems with the design, and it is interesting, and I think it is very fitting.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. Ms. Rowan?
I agree with previous comments.
Thank you. Ms. Woodfield?
I have no comments. I think the materials are well selected and look of quality.
Thank you. Mr. Thompson?
My comment is that a great deal of thought was put into doing this to frame the context of the buildings among the various new components, and appreciate the work the architect did.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Coleman?
No comments.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Mr. Higgins?
Just that I fully support staff recommendation, and I commend the architect at how they've reuse these wonderful buildings. It's a very nice design.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Since no questions or issues were raised, I'm not going to go around a second time, but I will entertain a motion.
Nagel?
Yes, Ms. Nagel.
I move that the Historic District Board of Review approve the request for new construction Part 2 design details for the three properties located at 401, 409 East Bay Street as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. Do I have a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Mr. Houle, how do you vote?
Aye.
Ms. Nagel?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Woodfield?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Coleman?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
We have unanimous approval. That item is approved. Next item up on the agenda is the petition of Theodore Gordon, file number 24-005461 for 520 West Hall Street, non-contributing demolition.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. This is Caitlin presenting 520 West Hall Street. The applicant is requesting approval to demolish two non-contributing buildings on the lot located at 520 West Hall Street. Just to go over give you a sense of where this is and just kind of the conditions they're in. Just to overview of some interior, mostly exterior photos. This is the main building. And then this is the secondary. So the main building at the current 520 West Hull Street was built circa 1950 and is a non-contributing resource. The smaller building is not seen until the 1973 Sanborn map, so it appears to have been constructed at some later point than the other building. The Sanborn map from 1916 shows a wood frame stable on the lot where the current concrete block building sits. It was connected to a larger livery and boarding stable that took up a good portion of the block, bounded by West Broad, West Hull, Poppy Street, and West Oglethorpe Avenue. Directly next to the smaller stable was a one-story duplex, a wagon shop, and a paint shop on the first floor with tenements above. So it changed quite a bit over time. We did note, though, the historic context of the immediate vicinity has largely been lost, surrounded by modern-day hotels, apart from two historic SCAD buildings. The 1950 Sanborn map is the first time the building appears. At this time, it read as 526 West Hull Street rather than the current address. In referencing the Savannah City directories, it appears that the main building did come about between 1950 and 51, and it was an auto service shop. So in evaluating a building for demolition, if it's a non-contributing structure, it must first be evaluated in case it could qualify as contributing. So they would need to possess seven qualities, which is integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association. So it would need to meet all seven. The main building was constructed in 1950 towards the end of the local period of significance, but after the National Register District period of significance, which ended in 1934. The secondary building was constructed sometime between 1953 and 1973, so it is unclear as to whether it was within the period. The location has been altered drastically since the mid-20th century, as have the design and setting. The predominant material is concrete block, which appears to be intact, though in a somewhat deteriorated condition in certain parts. Concrete block doesn't necessarily speak to a single time and place, as it was widely used in construction throughout the 20th century. Staff research did not uncover a significant association with a person or historical event. Staff finds that not all seven criteria above are met, which would allow for this to be relisted as contributing. And in addition to those, if there's another criteria it must meet, including events that have made a significant contribution to the broad patterns of our history, associated with the lives of significant persons in our past, or embody the distinctive characteristics of a type, period, or method of construction, or that represent the work of a master, or that possess high artistic values, or that represent a significant and distinguishable entity whose components may lack individual distinction or have yielded or may be likely to yield information important in history or prehistory. Research has not uncovered important information in history or prehistory regarding the site. Staff research was not able to identify a history, was able to identify a history of an auto repair shop at the buildings, but did not locate the necessary sufficient evidence to suggest that either building meets the above criteria. With regard to exceptional importance, it was not determined through staff research findings. So staff finds that the building should remain as non-contributing as outlined in the report. However, staff does recommend the petitioner explores options of deconstruction rather than demolition where possible, because a lot of this condition is, there's a lot of rusted window frames and some materials that aren't necessarily in great shape. But if it's possible to salvage anything, to just look into that possibility and to comply with the policy for documenting buildings over 40 years old. And so with that, staff recommendation is to approve the demolition request for two non-contributing structures on the property at 520 West Hull Street with the following conditions: because the buildings do not qualify for contributing status and otherwise meet the standards for non-contributing demolition. One, explore the option of deconstruction rather than demolition where possible. and to comply with the policy for documenting buildings over 40 years old. Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin. Are there questions for staff?
Rule? Caitlin, one question, and I think I'm right on this, is that if this was a contributing building that required demolition, the ordinance requires that we see what they're supposed to be going to do with it. But since this is non-contributing, there's not that requirement?
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. Are there any other questions for staff? Mr. Thompson.
Excuse me. The building down the block that looks like a similar kind of building in better condition, is that a building of significance?
Honestly, I looked into the two that were being requested about and just that context around the block. So I honestly am not sure.
I guess that would be east of this parking lot there.
I don't know if it's going to show on here. We can.
Maybe if you provide the context for the question.
Yeah, well, the context is that the next building to get demolished because it's creating a huge, already creating a huge site to do something with this one. And I don't have a opposition to this building, but I'm just thinking it's part of a bigger plan is kind of the question. And that's for the, not for the staff, I guess. So I'll wait.
Yeah, the applicant may have more information about it.
Are there any additional questions for Caitlin? Thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Tony Caravello. I'm with Bennett Hospitality, the owner of the property. Basically, we bought the property a couple years ago. It had been in probate for 7 or 8 years, so that's kind of when it came into disrepair that it is, that's in now. And we simply just want to clean up the eyesore. We plan on recycling all materials that we can. All the block will go to a crusher to be turned into either concrete or rock. All the steel that's, if it has any historical value, we'll definitely look into that, see if there's anything that can be done with any of those windows. They all appear just to be kind of bars over windows, nothing that terribly jumps out as being historically important, but any metal materials will be recycled. So pretty much one thing that's going to be thrown in the dumpster is some of the interior furnishings and stuff that are inside the building. That's our plan at this point.
Thank you. And you said your name was Caravello, Mr.
Tony Caravello, C-A-R-A-V-I-E-L-L-O.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Caravello. Are there questions for our petitioner? Okay. Thank you. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? Just state your name for the record.
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for the Historic Savannah Foundation. Although we never like to see or support a historic building being demolished, our ARC agrees with staff's recommendations to document and deconstruct the property. Although it is listed as non-contributing, our primary concern is that no information was provided on what is planned for the future of the property. So clarity from the petitioner would be appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. Is there another member of the public that wishes to comment? Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment?
We don't have real plans at this point on what we plan to do with it. We're a hotel developer. There's a good chance it's going to be a boutique hotel, but I really don't know. It all has to come back through these commissions to get approved. So that's what the plan is right now.
Great. Thank you. At this time, we will enter into board discussion and no further comment will be accepted. Mr. Higgins, I will start with you.
No comment.
Mr. Coleman?
No comment.
Mr. Thompson?
No comment. I think my questions were answered indirectly.
Ms. Woodfield?
No comment.
Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Ms. Nagel?
No comment.
Mr. Houle?
No comment.
Okay. I will not go around a second time since we didn't have any comments the first time. I will entertain a motion.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Houle.
Is Mr. Houle? I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 2400-5461 COA for the demolition of the two non-contributing structures on the property located at 520 West Hull Street with the two conditions as listed in the staff recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. There's a motion to approve the demolition request with the two noted staff conditions. Do I have a second?
Thompson, second.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Coleman?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Ms. Woodfield?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Nagel?
Aye.
Mr. Houle?
Aye.
All right, the ayes have it. That application is approved. Next item up on the agenda is the petition of Stephen Boddick of Savannah, Inc. and Ryan Brendel, file number 24-005463, 405 East Hull Street, for an addition.
Thank you, Chair. Jonathan Mellon. As you guys probably know by now, I always seem to end up here. Just to give a little context. So the site in question that we're talking about is 405 East Hull Street. This is a series of townhouses that were constructed about 2006, so almost 20 years ago. You all are, I'm sure, familiar with the site. The police department is over here that's been undergoing a extensive restoration project. And then directly to the north is the large new residential project rental where East Oglethorpe Lane was restored. This had been a parking lot for many years that the police department used and random people, including myself at times. So again, non-contributing building. This street view obviously is a little bit dated. This is where there's the new construction across the street. But these are the three-story townhouses, and I'm going to walk you through what the applicant is proposing. What they're proposing is a rooftop access. It's not just a small penthouse. So in talking with our colleagues in development services, it is a story, so it would make it a four-story building. In addition, what's being proposed is a roof deck on the front. And so let me just go through here. The applicant is here, and I'll just go through here. So again, non-contributing three-story masonry brick buildings. You have the map here that shows where I was just at on Google, showing where this is located. This is the new construction that is directly across the street. So to orient you all, the house in question is back here. This is the lane that has been restored. These are the two residential buildings, and then the police department is off here to the west, and then you have the kind of strip mall directly to the east. So what is being proposed on the roof level is a one-story rear addition. You'll see there's a spiral staircase. It would provide access to this upstairs space. And then in front would be a roof deck that would be enclosed by the existing, we'll go back to the pictures that you can see. If you go down the street, all of these houses have a brick parapet wall. So it would be enclosed by the brick parapet wall. And then they are also proposing to have a railing around the deck. The applicant, here you go. So existing and proposed, as we all know from flat elevations, it looks like it's right up at the front. It's not, it's set back. So that is the proposed scope of work. And they did provide some sightline drawings. I've been out to the site many times. Because of the new construction and the narrowness of the street, it's hard to get an actual view of the top of the roof. But going back to here, sorry, our staff report, just bear with me. So there's some interesting questions raised here, and there's some things that staff acknowledges that we did not know in our staff report that were brought to our attention by members of the public. Because this is now going to be a four-story building, the large-scale development standards are applicable. In talking to the former director of who had the position I'm in now, as we discussed during the pre-meeting, applying large-scale development standards to a single-family house is probably not what was intended, but until that's maybe changed and or maybe not, we would need to do that. In terms of the large-scale development standards, it would comply with them as proposed, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention. The other thing, though, is, and I'm sure when you've gone through our ordinance, sometimes things are in, I think what staff would say, kind of interesting locations. And what we found was, if you look in the sections for roofs, new construction, alterations to non-contributing resources, and additions, right down here, it says, pergolas and roof decks shall not be permitted on the street facade. And so, because as you saw in the drawings, what's being proposed is a roof deck that would be facing the street, that cannot be approved. So in terms of our recommendation, there were some minor things. The first condition related to the need to have a color palette for the penthouse or a headhouse and the roof deck railing, the roof deck and the railing to ensure that the standard is met. Additional information on the railing, but the main point is that the applicant will need a special exception if they want to have the roof deck. Now, if they would like to just not do the roof deck, obviously that's up to them. That's fine. And they could just, you know, ask for approval of the penthouse addition, but I'm pretty sure they want to have the roof deck. I'll let the applicant speak for themselves. So they would need a special exception from you all for the roof deck. Again, this is another issue, as we touched on briefly during the pre-meeting, that may need to be looked at, whether there should be a blanket no roof decks, because sometimes there are types of buildings such as this one that when staff looked at it, we felt a roof deck could be added because it would not actually be visible. The one caveat to that, I would say, is the railing around the roof deck. And the applicant can clarify this, but it looks like it's going to be higher than the brick parapet wall. And so one thought we had as a staff was to maybe not have the roof deck come out as far as is being shown on the drawing. I'll go back to it, but maybe pull it back a little bit, which we think could, let me pull it up here again. So as you can see here, there are these brick parapet walls that enclose all the roofs. And obviously our analysis would be different if this were the end unit, one of the end units, where you would be able to see this, but because it's in the middle of the block or towards the middle of the block. But what I was just trying to articulate was, so here's this one-story addition that they're proposing. They're proposing a roof deck here. If it were pulled in and pulled back, then the railing would assuredly not be visible from the street. So that's just a thought that we had. I understand there are some outstanding questions here. So, you know, staff had recommended approval with conditions, but given that the special exception is needed, and I know you all have some questions, you know, a continuance is also a very sensible option for you to consider.
Thank you, Jonathan. Do we have questions for staff? Mr. Higgins.
Higgins. Jonathan, have you discussed with the applicant the idea of a continuance?
Yes, just a short while ago. Yes.
And well, I know we can ask them, did they seem agreeable to
yes.
it?
Yes.
Were there additional questions? Mr. Poole?
Just one question about not necessarily setting precedents, but is this the first request that's come in from this particular development for this type of improvement?
A great question. I believe it is. Yes, I couldn't find any other ones. That's not to say somebody didn't stick a roof deck up there without telling us or telling the city, but I'm not aware of any. It's a good question, Mr. Hull.
Yeah, I think no matter which way we decide today, I think that there needs to be some clarification around the process for special application, whether or not that's needed, and then definitely some clarification on the large scale development standards being applied to a residential building of this size footprint. And so I think clarification for us and the applicant so that we know what we're looking at. And then I think Melanie had something that she wanted to add as well.
Hi, I'm sorry I wasn't at the pre-meeting. I think I've needed to be cloned today because I had three other meetings that I needed to be at. But
if you would state your name for the record, please, ma'am.
I will do that. Melanie Wilson, Executive Director and CEO of the Metropolitan Planning Commission. Just for a point of clarification with regards to the supposed Scrivener's error corrections that was done at the city last week, one of the things that you've got to remember is the application came in before those changes took place. So whatever was in place at the time that the application came in is what the rules are that you would look at. Anything that comes in today would have to be using the current regulations. And that's the way the city has always. So I'm just being consistent with what they've always done. Generally, when there's not a time frame, there's kind of like the silent kind of 30-day window of time so that everybody can get an opportunity to know what those changes are. In this case, the Scrivener's errors that the city put in place, and this went directly to city council. It didn't come to the planning commission, nor did it come to you, made a lot greater changes than I think probably they even realized. But this application came in before that went before the board. So if the applicant is willing to postpone it, that's great. I can see about getting a letter or something from the city attorney if you want something in writing, but I just wanted to make sure that you know generally when something like this happens, whatever has been submitted based on the rules and the laws that place at the time of submission is what is used to do the review, because they would have no idea that this was even taking place. This was something that changed that didn't require same type of advertisement and things of that nature that you would do if you did a text amendment. In addition to that, you have already previously approved uses of this or changes of this type using the old or current regulations that are in place. So I just wanted to make that clear, and I'll be glad to answer any questions about that, but wanted to be very, very clear about that. This was just approved Thursday. So it's not even, you know, it was literally approved Thursday by the city council.
I have a question, Nagel. Melanie, what exactly was the change that was approved? Was it in terms of the rooftop deck facing the street part or something else?
No, the changes with regards to those changes, I'm not sure about that. I'm just talking about the changes that took place that would require this to be reviewed as a large-scale development.
Okay, so the large-scale, not
I'm not talking
deck.
About
okay.
The roof facing or deck. I'm just talking about the large-scale development component because that, you know, in theory is a big deal.
But according to Jonathan, it doesn't matter if it's both current with the current rules and with the older rules.
Excuse me?
Does it still comply with the old rules prior to Thursday, or is there a conflict there? So it complies both ways.
The change that was made was not in the it was just where the large scale of development standards are applicable to different zoning districts. So it didn't change the criteria. But to answer your question, yes, it would comply.
Either way.
Either way.
Okay.
But the prohibition against having a roof deck on the front is in the ordinance under roofs, and that's where they would need the special exception.
But that was prior to last Thursday.
Right, which is why the staff report said.
So it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
You need either you get rid of the deck or you ask for a special exception.
Okay.
So. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions, additional questions for Melanie or staff?
For Jonathan.
Okay.
Moving forward, if it is continued, there's a building at 232 Price Street that built a rooftop deck that faces Price Street that's very, very visible because I drive past it every day. If we could look at why that was approved.
Okay. We'll check on that.
I have one last question for staff, and it's related to what Mr. Hull asked. If it's part of a row, it is a non-contributing row, it's non-historic. However, you know, we know that if it was a historic row, then it would break with the visual compatibility of its neighboring row. Does that not apply for new construction? So does that?
Yes. Yeah, so you may recall, I forget how many meetings ago, there was a request on McDonough to change one of the, I think it was the second story window into a balcony on these buildings that was approved, which was a change to the row. And staff felt that the proposed change was compatible, as you all did. I think it was approved on consent, if I'm recalling correctly. Staff would, I think, judge it very differently if we were talking about, you know, the building here on the end and how that might, you know, but even though we have to review this, we debated this internally. If you can't see it, we only have jurisdiction over things you can see. As you guys know, if something is behind a wall or a fence, we don't review it. So if this is truly not visible from the street, we have no jurisdiction over it. However, as designed, I think, you know, when we talk about the railing, you might be able to see a little bit of that railing above the brick parapet. You would not be able to see this addition, I don't believe, having just been on Hull Street. It's very narrow. Because of the sight lines now with the large new building directly to the north, you can't walk back far enough to actually see the top of it. But yes, to answer your question directly, even with a non-contributing row, if there's something architecturally significant that would be changed by an addition or alteration to the fenestration, we would, of course, look at that very carefully.
Thank you, Jonathan. Yes, of course.
Sarah Woodfield, thank you. These are three-story buildings, and the buildings that are now built directly across the street are four-story buildings?
Yes, four so, and then five, I believe,
right.
When
so
you
the
cross the
lake. Those buildings will look directly onto these terraces. Concern to us?
We can't really take that into – are you talking about, like, privacy or – that wouldn't fall into our what we have jurisdiction over.
Yeah, I think her question is, if I understand this correctly, is around the criteria used for visual compatibility. It's from the public right-of-ways. So
from the public right-of-way and not from neighbors.
Correct.
So neighbors said, you know, this addition is going to make my space less private. We can't really – that's not within our jurisdiction. We have to just look at whether – meets the standards, meets the ordinances, meets visual compatibility.
If I may continue, I just want to put another notion out there, and that is if this is going to be used in the evening with lights, you know, maybe you don't see the building in the daytime, but if there are lights strung up there, then they will be visible.
Yep. That's a good
point. If that's, you know, maybe we should be talking about controlling that.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Woodfield. Are there additional questions for Jonathan?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Hull.
One additional question that's kind of sort of related to that, and I'm pretty sure that it's outside of our jurisdiction, but if there's anybody that is very concerned about this turning into Party Central number two, that's not our call.
That would be something you'd have, the neighbors would have to take up with the city with code enforcement if there were violations of noise ordinance or other things. We have no control over that.
Correct. Thank you.
Anything else? Mr. Thompson.
The question about lights. good point. Is there something in the code that would be part of our purview or maybe zoning code?
We just have our, it's a good question. We just have our standard in terms of looking at the light fixtures, you know, what they're made of, and that it has to be white light. But I think what Ms. Whitfield may be getting at is if, you know, they strung up, you know, those temporary lights, I don't believe we would have any jurisdiction over something that somebody could take, you know, put up for a party and then take down. We all know people leave them up probably too long. But that would be something we'd have to talk about with code enforcement if it became an issue.
Mine are up and they've been up from the beginning, so nobody can see them.
Anything else for Jonathan? Thank you, Jonathan. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
My name is Ashley Field. I think Jonathan has covered everything about what we're trying to accomplish for this couple that has bought this property. I think the only thing that I wanted to request is maybe the special exception being just a condition, and I would take care of filing that information and all of the things. I don't really have any questions or comments to add. It's just really about how long I understand the continuance. I understand the special exception. I have no problem applying and following through with that, but I would like to move forward with trying to get this project going because this couple is anticipating moving here. This is going to be their home. It's just a couple, no children. They're an older couple, and they just wanted a rooftop area that they could enjoy and be outside because it's very limited where they live. If you look at the property, there's not a lot for it. So as far as being outdoors and having a good place to sit, and that's what they're trying to achieve. So that's why I wanted to ask if you guys would approve of the condition of special exception.
Thank you. Are there questions for the petitioner?
Yes, Cedric Coleman. Could you tell me the construction of that building? Is it wood frame, to your knowledge?
It's wood frame with brick facade.
Okay. Just to give you a heads up to check into that for residential construction, four stories is not allowed for wood frame construction. So you might want to just check it out and make sure before we approve a fourth story for you to make sure that by the next code that that's allowed, just to give you a heads up on that from that standpoint to look into it. I have no problem with the addition, but just wanted to make sure that's something that's thrown out in front of you there.
To answer your question, in addition to what Eli has done, we have an engineer that is involved in the project for structural, as far as frame construction, adding the fourth story and those things that would apply.
I understand from a structural standpoint it's possible, but from a code related from the just the building code itself, it's not a structural issue. It's beyond that. So just check into it is all I'm asking you to do for your benefit.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Were there additional questions for the applicant? Thank you. Is there a member of the public that wishes to speak on this application?
Ellie Isaac, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC would like to advocate for this petition to be continued in order for it to be reviewed by the board again versus staff review due to the staff's recommendations. Given the site's context, the question of compatibility is our main concern, as this would set a precedent along the row.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. Is there another member of the public that wishes to speak? Good afternoon, Mr. Jones. Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon. Andrew Jones, Chair of the Oglethorpe Plan Coalition. I agree this matter should be continued, not approved conditionally. I know the applicant mentioned the occupants and their desires. For those of you who took the training, you understand that's not something you can consider. You've also, in the past, have people made representations and then put the buildings on the market the subsequent day. A roof deck facing a street is not permitted under 7810K21G, and you have to follow the plain reading of the ordinance, whether you agree with it or not. You can't approve something that violates the design standards without the applicant having applied for and received a special exception, and this has obviously not happened yet. What is important is to remember why there's a special exception. The criteria for a special exception are very different from the criteria for a COA. So everything Jonathan said is correct about what you can consider and not consider for the COA today. But when you're looking at a special exception, remember there's a whole different criteria, and this is where some of the comments of Ms. Woodfield come into play. You do have to consider the effect on the well-being of the neighborhood. You do have to consider whether this is going to be a party deck and make life unlivable in the adjoining residences. Those become relevant under the criteria for a special exception, which is the very reason that this process needs to be followed. So while visibility guides the COA, once you're in the special exception, you're in a whole bunch of other issues. I would be very concerned about approving this conditioned upon the special exception, because that gives the appearance that, at least to some people might think that it sounds like you've already decided the special exception is okay. And that the special exception deserves its own hearing. It deserves notice. So it's more appropriate, I think, to simply continue this, not continue it based upon a condition. As to the large-scale development rules, they were made to apply to large-scale developments. And as you can see, that's effectively what this is. It's an entire block. So while you're only considering one building here, it's a building that was part of effectively a large-scale development. By having three floors, they didn't necessarily have to go through those rules. So if you allow people to add fourth floors, then you've undermined the large-scale development rules. It means that a developer builds three stories and then comes back to you and adds a fourth, and then they haven't had to comply. And one last item, there seems to be confusion about what the amendment or the text amendment was on large-scale development. That was just changing DC to DN. It had nothing to do with DR. This is in DR zoning. So the large-scale development rules have always applied to this building. So everything Melanie said is correct. It just doesn't apply in this particular instance because this is DR and the rules have always applied to DR. And
Mr. Jones, I'm going to ask you to wrap up.
I'll wrap up. Jonathan says that the large-scale development rules have been complied with. They're very complex. They have many, many requirements, and I'm not sure that there's any explanation of why it actually meets all those multitude of requirements of setbacks and height variations. So I recommend, again, that you continue this but not approve it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Is there another member of the public that wishes to speak? Would the applicant like to respond to public comment?
I just want to verify with you guys that I understand completely about the concerns about this being a party deck and lighting and music, which I thought fell under something else besides this. And I'm kind of confused. So can anybody clarify for me if that really truly has any implications on this application?
That's not criteria that this board can base a decision on. We look at the ordinance design standards. Okay. Visual compatibility factors.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify. I appreciate it. I don't think I have anything else. You've heard what I had to say, but thank you.
Thank you.
I have one question for the petitioner. Sure. If you were to continue it, would you prefer a 30-day or 60-day continuance?
30-day. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, we will enter into board discussion and no further public comment will be heard. I will start with you, Mr. Higgins.
I fully support a continuance on this. I think there are too many questions up in the air. I don't like seeing staff recommendations come through with so many conditions. I just think all this needs to be addressed a little bit more concisely, so I would support a continuance to the December meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Coleman?
I concur that a continuance, I think, would be appropriate to iron out some of the inconsistencies with this petition.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Mr. Thompson?
I agree with that in the whole application, not just the issue of the special use should be continued.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Ms. Woodfield?
Thank you. Yes, I recommend continuance.
Thank you. Ms. Rowan?
I agree with previous comments.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Ms. Nagel?
I think that from a procedural perspective, we have to follow the order, and we cannot approve something based on a condition that could completely change it. The special exception would have to be applied first for us to be able to even look at this application. That's the way it should be. The ordinance is pretty clear, so if we just stick to the ordinance, it would be denied. I would recommend continuing it to allow the applicant to apply for the special exception. I'm concerned for the 30 days because I don't know that that allows enough time for that special exception to be heard, but that's a totally different board, not ours. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Hull?
I would just agree with everything that's been said previously for at least a 30-day extension.
I'll go around one more time. Mr. Higgins?
Just one quick clarification from staff. What could the special exception be applied for within the 30-day window if we were to continue it?
Yes. Yes. But you can, I don't think it hurts if you all want to extend it. You say we continue it for 60 days. If they come back in December, great. If they come back in January, fine. Yeah. No, I don't think there's a downside.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Coleman?
No additional comments.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
My question was similar, Michael's. Requirement for notice with the sign.
The filing deadline is actually tomorrow, Mr. For the December meeting. Yes, so they would have to file, but then the placards, they don't have to pick the placards up tomorrow.
Yeah, okay, thanks. That's the question.
Ms. Woodfield?
No additional comments.
Ms. Rowan?
No additional comments.
Ms. Nagel?
No further comment.
Mr. Hull?
Nothing else.
Okay, thank you. At this time, I'll entertain a motion.
Higgins, I move the Savannah Historic District Board of Review continue petition number 24-005463-COA for 405 East Hull Street to the December 11th hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. There's a motion on the floor to continue to the December 11th meeting. Do I have a second?
Hull, second.
Thank you, Mr. Hull. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Coleman?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Ms. Woodfield?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Nagel?
Aye.
Mr. Hull?
Aye.
All right, that motion to continue is approved. Next item up on the agenda is the petition of James Burnsed, file number 24-005465 for 110 Ann Street, an illuminated sign.
Okay, again, this project is for 110 Ann Street. The applicant is proposing to install one illuminated wall sign and one projecting sign at 110 Ann Street. Overall, staff finds that the standards are met with two quick comments. The first is that the applicant needs to confirm that the proposed wall sign is a minimum of 8 feet above the sidewalk. The second has to do with the illuminated sign itself. The proposed wall sign meets the standards for internal illumination, but it should be noted that section 9.9.1 6.6.2 states an enclosed lamp, neon, or exposed fluorescent lighting shall not be permitted within any residential district or across the street from any residential use. D, CBD is not a residential district, but if the part of the neighboring structure that faces this part of the building is residential, staff recommends that external illumination be used instead of internal. So with that, staff recommends approval of the one illuminated wall sign and the one projecting sign at 110 Ann Street with the conditions shown on the screen.
Thank you, Kelly. Are there questions for staff on this one? Ms. Woodfield?
May I just make a comment? I did visit the property, and there are residential lofts directly across the street from this, and it's, you know, a very tall building. So have you been able to make a reconnaissance and check that for yourself?
I've not been able to at this time, but if that's the case, the board can make a condition that it's not internally illuminated.
Okay. And then my second question is on the projecting wall sign. I thought I read something about that sign needed to be attached to the wall.
So there is the illuminated wall sign and there's projecting sign. Projecting signs can be kind of out the line of flies just for this wall sign right here.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Are there additional questions for staff? Okay, thank you, Kelly. Is the petitioner here? Petitioner is with us online.
What's the name on the agenda?
Okay, going once, going twice, no petitioner. Is there a member of the public that wishes to speak on this? Okay, we will now enter into board discussion and no further public comment will be heard. Mr. Houle, I will start with you.
It's unfortunate that the applicant isn't here, but I don't, looking at this and looking at the staff's recommendation, I don't really see any problems with it at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. Ms. Nagel?
The petitioner being present is not a requirement, correct? No. So aside from that, I don't have any further questions or comments.
Ms. Rowan?
No comments.
Ms. Woodfield?
Well, I am concerned that this is across from about a six-story loft apartment building and that this 14-foot sign will shed a lot of light into this residential neighborhood. I think if it is determined that there are residential units facing the proposed wall sign across the street, the applicant should change the sign to either externally illuminated or have no illumination. I think we have to verify that before we can move forward with this. And again, I would just say it's a very large sign. It's, you know, the light from these signs can be bright and it can, you know, reach out into the public space. So that's my comment.
Thank you, Ms. Woodfield. Mr. Thompson?
So the staff is fine with the sign given the illumination question that was just asked or presented?
Yeah, so overall design's fine, but again, if we can confirm that across the street is residential, we would request that the illumination either be external or not at all.
The question I have, and it's always been my rule, I'm not God or anything, that the applicant should be here to represent themselves. Who is James Burnside? Is he the sign person or the owner of the property?
I believe he'll be the sign person.
Well, I vote to have this continued then to the owner can be here, at least be notified that his agent wasn't here to represent the sign and answer questions. So
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Coleman?
I have no comments.
Mr. Higgins?
No comment.
I'll go around one more time. Mr. Hull?
No additional comment.
Ms. Nagel?
No additional comment.
Ms. Rowan?
No comments.
Ms. Woodfield?
I'd be in favor of continuing this. I think there's a couple of big questions that we don't know, and we should have answers before we agree to it.
Thank you, Ms. Woodfield. Mr. Thompson?
Ditto on that, and I just want to comment on Abercorn. Overlooking Habersham Woods are two very tall hotels with beacons at the top of the hotel announcing their name that shed light into the neighborhood, and there's probably no code that deals with that, but it is an issue to have bright lights shining into a residential area.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Coleman?
No comment.
Mr. Higgins?
No comment.
Thank you. At this time, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll recommend that move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review continue the petition of number 4005465, 110 Ann Street, relating to illuminated signs. Could be the next December meeting. To continue it to the December meeting.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to continue the petition to the December 11th meeting. Do I have a second?
Hull, second.
I will second.
We've got a second from Mr. Hull. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Coleman?
Nay.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Ms. Woodfield?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Nagel?
Aye.
Mr. Hull?
Aye.
The ayes have it. That petition is continued to the December 11th meeting. Next item up on the agenda is the petition of Lynch Associates, Andrew Lynch, file number 24-005479 for 118 West Taylor Street in addition.
Thank you. I go back to my old favorite here. Bear with me. All righty. So what we were talking about here is a proposed rear addition to 118 West Taylor Street, which was constructed circa 1850-1852. It's part of a row, I'm sure you all know. Very nice. Two or however, based on zoning, probably three-story building, raised basement. There are no proposed changes to the front elevation as part of this proposal. As we all know, the question of how to allow folks to age in place has been something that has been coming before you all increasingly. And so this is the back of the house in question. They have a carriage house, which obviously obscures much of the view coming from the east and then also from the west. You can see the back of the house here, if I can zoom in here. I know the applicant will walk through this. The rear of this building has already been altered. And so this is not historic fabric that will be changed. And I'll walk you through the plans right now. So won't go through all the, okay, what happened? Issues here. Okay. So again, I can zoom in a little bit, make it bigger for you guys. So this is the existing two-story carriage house that nothing's going to be changed here. This is the rear elevation. Again, I'm sure you can all tell, not historic, not original. What's being proposed is a new elevator that would go on this the right-hand side, if you're looking at the rear elevation, or the west side of the rear of the building. And so this is the demolition plan. Again, we're not talking about historic fabric here, which made it much easier. If you were able to have this view, which you can't really have because there is this two-story carriage house, what's being proposed to be changed is the area here on the right. So that bay, the right bay. Again, the staircase porch will remain coming up from the garden level, and then you will have this new elevator addition here, which will be right here. They're also proposing, because they're going to be having this new elevator, they're going to basically move the fenestration to the side to the east. And I will let the applicant walk through all the details. But in short, when staff looked at this, I think we all agreed that this was the right way to add accessibility to a row house on the rear, minimally visible. You'd really have to be looking for this to catch your eye. It meets all the standards in terms of how they're, you know, in terms of it being lower than the roof height of the main house, all the materials that are proposed to be used. The one, as you'll see here, we are recommending approval because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards, with one condition, and the applicant may be able to clarify this right now, but we just wanted confirmation on the proposed material for the two rear doors to ensure that the standards are met. But otherwise, staff feels, again, so what we're talking about here is an addition here that would basically, this window would be removed, then there'd be a single window. There would be just a small little addition here that would have this new elevator shaft providing access. So with that, I'm here obviously to answer any questions, or I can turn it over to the applicant.
Thank you, Jonathan. Are there any questions for staff? Mr. Thompson?
Can you show the rear elevation as proposed, a picture of it?
Drawing? Yes.
The drawing, yeah.
Yes. Sure. So this would be it here. Yeah, so again, basically all of this would be retained here to the east. They would be keeping the door, but reconfiguring this porch, actually an improvement in our view, architecturally, having the window above it. And then this is the elevator here. So I thought it was really well done in terms of a sensitive addition.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Were there additional questions for staff?
One other question, and this is more just kind of a view. So the rear facade now is going to be flush the site all the way across the back. It's not going to be like now there's the little offset. Now it's going to be straight across. Am I correct? Except for that little porch.
Yes, exactly, Mr. Hull. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And the applicant can probably provide some more clarification on that, but it's a good question.
Are there additional questions for staff? Okay, thank you, Jonathan. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hello, my name is Mariel Hamer. I'm here on behalf of Lynch Associates Architects. I'd like to thank you for reviewing our proposal, and I wanted to note we agree with staff's recommendations. As far as the materiality of the door, we're planning on reusing the existing door or matching the existing door's material.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
Just Higgins, did you explore putting the elevator shaft into the existing footprint of the building?
We did. I believe we found that it would have been too difficult with the historic layout on the interior.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Are there any other questions for the petitioner? Thank you. Is there a member of the public that wishes to speak?
Once again, Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for the Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC is in full support of the proposed addition as it's being presented. The rear facade has already been previously highly altered, and therefore this location is the least invasive, minimally visible, and easily removable in the future.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. Is there another member of the public that wishes to speak? Do we have anyone online? Okay. At this time, we'll enter into board discussion and no further public comment will be heard. Mr. Higgins, I'll start with you.
I support staff recommendation. Had the rear elevation of this building not been so altered, I probably would have a different view. But because of the alterations, I would support staff recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Coleman?
No comments.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Mr. Thompson?
I support staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Ms. Woodfield?
I support the recommendation. I think this has been well done. It is flush against the back, so it is not going to be a protuberance that will stand out as something unusual. And also, I've checked, and I'm happy to say that this is not going to extend any further than any other properties along that long group of row houses. So I think it's very in keeping of what, you know, that neighborhood is already doing. I support it.
Thank you, Ms. Woodfield. Ms. Rowan?
I support staff's recommendation to approve.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Ms. Nagel?
No comment.
Mr. Houle?
I support the staff's recommendation.
Thank you. Since I didn't hear any objections or additional questions, I will not go around a second time, but I will now entertain a motion.
Rowan, I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 2400-5479. Provided that the conditions outlined in the staff recommendations are met.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. The motion on the floor is to approve the petition with the one staff recommendation. Do I have a second?
Houle, second.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Coleman?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Ms. Woodfield?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Nagel?
Aye.
Mr. Houle?
Aye.
All right, the ayes have it. That motion is approved. Next item up on the agenda is the petition of J. Elder Studio, file number 24-005167, 30 Barnard Street, an amendment to a previous COA with a file number 222-004370.
As fastly stated, this is an amendment to a previous COA. Per the application, the strip of this project includes a replacement of a storefront and a 250 square foot rooftop addition to a standing egress stair and elevator overrun to the roof level. Roof level will not be occupied by the public. Stair access is for maintenance only. Other work includes enclosing a door and window opening and providing new openings for a window and for a door. Overall, staff found the majority of the project met standards with a couple of exceptions. One is the creation of this opening right here. Originally, this was proposed by the applicant and staff found that did not meet the Secretary of Interior standards because there was no evidence that this was a previously enclosed opening. After talking with the applicant this morning and receiving revised plans, the applicant is no longer proposing this opening at all. It will keep the solid wall there. The applicant is also proposing to close up one door and one window on the side elevation. That will be this window as well as this door. Typically, this is not something that staff would approve on a side elevation, but in this case, staff found that it could meet the standards given how far back these two elements are. Also, if you look at the buildings immediately surrounding this one, they all have very similar conditions. These elevations were typically highly altered over time as well. The applicant will also need to provide additional material specifications. Some of this was also provided just prior to the meeting and met the standards, but there are just a couple of details that staff needs, like to confirm that the stucco was true stucco. With that, Again, this was prior to the receiving of that information about the side window. Staff recommendation was to deny the proposed window and the window opening in the southern elevation towards the front corner because the work does not meet Secretary of Interior Standard number 4, and then approve the amendment with the exception of that window because the work meets the standards and, of course, this one condition. Or have any questions?
I have one. Just to confirm, the discussion about the front windows off the table, but can you go back and confirm the door in the back and the either one or two windows up the top? You're okay with those?
We are in this case, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Just a procedural question, even though the applicant has agreed to take that off the table since we have to review what was submitted, we would still have to deny that, correct? Okay. Thank you. Were there additional questions for staff? Mr. Thompson?
I'm confused what the current staff recommendation is. It is what?
The current recommendation is to approve the entire project with the exception of this window right here. This one window. And this is the window that the applicant is willing to kind of take off the table.
Put up a wall there?
So there's currently a wall there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they wanted to open the wall up, put this window in. Staff was recommending denial. So they're willing to keep that wall as is.
So recommending denial won't really change where they'll go. Okay, all right. Thank you.
Additional questions for staff? Thank you, Kelly. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
You can open?
Okay, not a problem.
Go ahead and do it. You can. Once you're from there.
Jerome Elder from J. Elder Studio. And thank you for, I'd like to thank Kelly because we went back and forth a bit on this. And after discussions with the owner, they were open to not moving forward with that additional window. And this is just a plan that will show you that window is no longer there. And I also provided it here so you can see it's no longer within the project. And we also submitted the details for the sections as well as 3D views to show what that area looks like. So this is the storefront that's being redone. And it is the same storefront that exists at the opposite corner, which was done previously by my team a few years ago. It's solid mahogany windows. This is where Coco and Moss is. You might be familiar with it. And it's the exact same design, just mirrored on the other side of the building to replace the old rocking system that's there now. Outside of that, we are in agreement with the staff recommendation and hope you approve the submission. And any questions?
Thank you. Are there questions for the petitioner? No. Thank you, Mr. Elder. Is there a member of the public that wishes to speak on this petition? Anyone online? Okay, at this point, we will enter into board discussion and no further public comment will be heard. Mr. Houle, I'll start with you.
I have no comments about this project. I agree with the staff's recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. Ms. Nagel?
No comment.
Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Mr. Woodfield?
No comment.
Mr. Thompson?
My comment would be that I agree with the staff recommendation, but probably the motion should include the additional information that the applicant will maintain. It's a wall there now, right? So maintain the wall instead of the window.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Coleman?
No comment.
Mr. Higgins?
No comment.
I'll go around one more time. Mr. Houle?
No comment.
Ms. Nagel?
No comment.
Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Ms. Woodfield?
No comment.
Mr. Thompson?
No comment.
Mr. Coleman?
No comment.
Mr. Higgins?
No comment.
All right, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Houle,
the floor is yours.
I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review deny the new proposed window and window opening on the southern elevation toward the front corner because the work does not meet the Secretary of Interior standards, and approve the amendment to 22004370 COA with the exception of the new window opening at 30 Barnard Street with the following condition: because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meet the standards. And the condition is that which is listed in the staff recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. The motion on the floor is to deny the proposed window and window opening on the southern elevation and approve file number 24-4370 with the exception of the new window opening at 30 Barnard Street with the staff condition that material information for all new elements on the storefront, southern elevation, and rooftop addition be supplied. Is there a second?
Higgins, second.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Houle, how do you vote?
Aye.
Ms. Nagel?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Woodfield?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Coleman?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
The ayes have it. That motion is partially denied and partially approved. All right, approved staff reviews. There were none posted and none included on the agenda, so we will move past that. Work performed without a COA. I didn't see any. Hang on, let me get my agenda. There were none included, so we can move through that. Items deferred to staff. Nothing for that. There were a couple notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. If you want to check into those, they were included and posted online. Under new business, we have Jessica Baldwin with us from the City of Savannah to quickly run through some changes that were made to the ordinance code.
So Jessica is going to first talk to you about some proposed solar arrays on buildings. And then she's going to talk to you about the zoning text amendment that was approved by the City Council last week.
Great. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Jessica Baldwin. I'm the City of Savannah's Preservation Officer. Sorry, those are my crystals. Okay. Cool. Thank you, Kaylin. All right. So the City of Savannah and the Office of Sustainability and the Planning and Urban Design Department are notifying you today about a solar panel project. This is a part of a larger Savannah sustainability initiative, and this project is located on Savannah's Cultural Arts Center, recently renamed the Dr. Otis S. Johnson Cultural Arts Center. It's located at 201 Montgomery Street, and in this we're not requesting a COA because it is not visible from the street. This is, we just want to keep everybody informed of what we're doing. Transparency. So as you can see, it's located within the downtown Savannah Historic District. The panels will cover approximately 10.25% of the roof. They're going to be installed by Cherry Street Solar, the city's contractor. They'll be located on the two parts of the roof that you can see here in the drawings and kind of highlighted in the yellow on the aerial view. There's approximately 136 panels. They'll be mounted as per the diagram there shown as well. And they will not be more than about 10 inches above the roof as per as-built drawings from the city's project of this, from the development of this project. We have determined that the parapet is about 3 feet, so they will be completely not visible to the public. Any questions?
Mr. Thompson.
Seems like a cool application. What? How much electricity was that going to be generated just for that building or for all of downtown?
That's a great question. I do not know the answer to that. I will look into it and see what I can find out and let you know. But I think this is one of four projects that I presented four to the HPC last month. And those are kind of visible from the street, but this is a part of that larger project. So I think it's to ultimately get to 100% sustainability. So I don't know exactly what percentage this project will have.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Jessica on the solar panels?
I know it's like riveting. this next one's a doozy too. Okay, so as we've been discussing today, the large scale development standards. So the city presented to City Council last week on the large-scale development standards. We realized that it was a Scrivener's error, and there had been some misapplication of the development standards applied through different projects, and we wanted to make sure that that was corrected, as the large-scale development standards are intended to apply a little bit more regulation to the areas, both in the residential sections of downtown as well as areas that are directly next to downtown, like in the DR. So as you can see here, the definition says DR and DN districts, but in the actual large-scale development sections, they refer to DC and DR. So we just wanted to make that correction that those DN districts that are really the ones that kind of serve as a buffer on arterial streets are the ones that are really, the standards are really being applied. What it means is that these standards will allow will require a certain amount of lane coverage. They'll also require varying roof heights, some things that really will force these developments to coordinate a little bit better with residential lower density downtowns, but also kind of continue to allow for some development along these arterial wider streets that have broader street views and things of that nature. So we changed it in the T section, 7.8T32. as well as V1. So this change will mean that there has to be the height will more align with the current height map and actuality, which will, I think, kind of hopefully help clarify some things. And it provides a very clear regulation about what height in those areas can be. There's less flexibility. And as you can see, we changed it here on the table. And then just here, you can see the height map along with where these kind of areas are. You can kind of start to see how they will be more aligned. We feel that this will hopefully, everybody has a different opinion. I think that that's clear. But I think that we feel that this will kind of help keep some aesthetic consistency with downtown and keep some things that have kind of gotten misaligned realigned. So that's it. Any questions?
Thank you, Jessica. Were there questions, Mr. Thompson?
This was approved by City Council already?
Yes.
Was there a recommendation made by the
There was not. We went straight to Council with this as the city's decision and the city attorney's decision to make on that. We wanted the process done quickly. We felt, again, that it was just an error in the way that things were currently written, and we wanted to get that fixed correctly so that as larger developments come about to you guys, it's already there and set and in the rule book.
I get that, but it should have been before one of those bodies to be reviewed for a recommendation to City Council, and I love to talk to City Attorney about that.
Okay, yeah, I'll be happy to connect you with Bates, no problem. Yeah.
Any other questions for Jessica? Thank you.
You're welcome. Y'all have a great day.
We always appreciate being made aware of the changes that are happening
too,
that affect our decisions. Okay, and we did have another item. We need to appoint a nomination committee to elect chair and vice chair heading into next year. Are there any volunteers to serve on said committee? I mean, not everyone all at once. Well, if nobody volunteers, it's a necessary task, so I will be assigning that. So this is your opportunity to not be assigned, but okay. Thank you, Mr. Thompson. I will assign Ms. Nagel, and we need one more. Mr. Houle, how about it?
I regretfully decline since next month is my last meeting.
Oh, well, I didn't realize that. Mr. Higgins. Thank you for your enthusiastic agreeal to serve on the nominating committee. If you'll just get your nominations together, make sure you reach out to them. The individuals are willing to serve, and then we'll do it. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, correct. Any other business that needs to be discussed? Yes, Mr. Thompson.
Speaking of terms, I realized somewhere from getting a notice from the city that I've been on the board 3 years. I can't believe that. Something's wrong with my brain. But is there a way to confirm? I don't remember ever getting a letter or anything that what my term was. Yeah, well, look, send it to me when email. Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I don't know if my term's up or I have to be reappointed or.
We'll check on that for you, Mr. Thompson.
Yeah, might want to check everyone. I think Ms. Rowan and I were asking ourselves how long we've been on here too. But let's just kind of do a quick run through and make sure we have.
Yes, we'll do it for everybody.
We might have to nudge some members of the public to put in applications because I think we're down to two. Okay, anything else? All right, we are adjourned.
Thank you for your time.